forgive my sin. You, my God, heal my brokenness. In you, my God, my life redeemed. You crown me with love and with mercy. Sing, oh my soul. Oh my soul will praise the Lord. Oh my soul.
Everyone, welcome. Let's stand up. Welcome you on online church and everybody who's here today. We're going to worship the Lord today. Seems like we're getting the February snow Sundays. Here we go. So let's worship him anyway. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing my life alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my dream till I
my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you, when you called my name, and I ran out that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Sin was heavy, the chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call my name, glorious day, when you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day,
yeah.
Two, three.
You may be seated. Continuing with our second week in Close Encounters with God, and that's going to be our second week, which should be called Snowy Encounters with God every week lately, but I guess. So we're going to just start with prayer today, just to kind of remember all those who have been recovering from surgeries or other kinds of things like that, those struggling spiritually and emotionally, mentally, whatever you may be. This has been a Still, it seems to be some really tough stuff for people. You know, it's with things and with things getting better and getting worse and getting all over the place. We're just kind of like trying to figure everything out still in life. And continue to pray for anyone struggling with COVID, as the numbers still are way up there. And we just hope that everything will go better as we move forward, continuing this year. All right, so let's just go to the Lord in prayer. God, we come to you today in this winter wonderland. And God, we know that there has been so many challenges for your church over the last year. We also recognize that there are so many challenges in each individual's lives, whether it be financial, whether it be spiritual, whether it be relational, whether it be addictions or things like that, whether it be health, whether it be dealing with COVID or whatever it may be, God. So we just ask that your Holy Spirit just speak to us like it never has before. And just calm our hearts and our minds and help us to just focus on you. And God, a lot of times we focus on you and we, because of everything else that's swirling around us, we kind of lose you in the midst of it all. So I just pray that you'll make yourself very clear to us. And for that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Everybody says, amen. All right. A couple of announcements that we have. I do want to make, we still are rolling with Sunday school, and that's great. Our youth group today, because of the weather, decided to postpone and cancel today, so they will not be here after church. Again, continue with recognizing with our Stephen ministers, if you're interested in that, and then grief share. Are you back to whatever tomorrow? Okay. What? Okay, depending upon the weather, what happens, I know they definitely are always online tomorrow night, and if not, then they will let you know, and you'll be on Zoom, so in person and Zoom is how we are. If you need information, grief share at havencc.org. Paris Foundation, I do know that they are still looking for 70 dinner bags for 2 weeks, 2 weeks from now, right, the 21st. 2/21/21. How about that? They will be dropped off between 4 and 4:15 at the Family Education Center on 200 Road B, Hollingsworth Manor. So if you're interested in that, you guys have always been really great about meeting that need, and we ask that you continue to do so. Okay, and then on the 28th, the youth group is having an axe throwing party. That sounds fun, doesn't it? And ages 10 and up are welcome, and so they need RSVPs by the 21st. So by the 28th, they're going to go right after church on Sunday the 28th. All right, so that's our announcements that we have right now. Everybody good? All right, so welcoming everybody here and, again, those church online. We are in our, again, here is our bulletin if you want to go ahead and get that. I know there's some that were there, so you can take out your phone and click on that if you'd like to. In the camera on our QR code, and we'd be glad to let you go ahead and connect that way as well. We are in our second week. Last week we talked about, you remember who we talked about?
Jacob and talked about wrestling with God, God's wrestling federation. And anybody wrestle with God this week? Anyone? Anybody want to? Okay, we can. So, but anyway, this week we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk about another big guy in the faith. And I want to start with our main verse today in this encounter. We'll tell you who the person is in a bit. But let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16. It says, whenever they, and the they is actually us, whenever they turn to face God as Moses did, and there's your hint who the big one's going to be today, Moses, God removes the veil and they are face to face. Now the veil, under their understanding, is not like one like we have, you know, like a veil, but it is basically it was a separation between God and his people, and that was a barrier between God and the people. So they say that suddenly recognize that God is a living personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. That this is what we need to see. We need to really see God face to face, that he's not a chiseled in stone. I do believe one of the travesties that we've done in organized religion and in the Christian faith is we put God so far removed at many times that we forget that he's a personal living God. One of the things I didn't share with you last week, but I will right now, is in our country, statistics are showing that, and I shared this a couple weeks ago, that Christianity is dropping off, that people are less Christian than they've ever been in our country, more and more so. But in one country, there's one country that is the fastest growing Christian population in the world. Anybody know what it is? China. It is China. And doesn't that shock you that in China, and they are being persecuted worse than some of the many places in the whole, you know, in the whole world. And so China is dealing with this, yet they are growing. It's becoming such a problem that the leadership of China is actually worried about the church. It's very interesting, because I would also say, I don't think many of the leaders in our country are worried about the church in America. And that just tells you where we're headed. So what I believe the Christians in China are realizing fully is that God is not some chiseled thing that is set up in stained glass or put somewhere, that they understand that God is a personal living presence. And I think we need to adapt to that. He's real and he's alive, and we need to renew that in our spirits. And he's not just a story that we share. He's not a flannel graph. Anybody remember flannel graphs? Remember that? He's not just that. And then it continues and it says, and when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. What do I mean by obsolete? It means that thing that is a barrier, that thing that we need a breakthrough from. Does anybody need, I mean, just ask yourself this. Is there anything you need a breakthrough from? Just something that you need to break through at this point in your life. And nothing is between us. And it says we're free of it. All of us, nothing between us. And God, our faces shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, meaning we are changed. Much like the Messiah, our lives gradually become brighter and more beautiful. And God enters our lives and we become like him. Isn't this interesting? It says a couple things here. It says that we change to become like the Messiah. I don't know. Is your life brighter and more beautiful? I think if we go back to where we first came to Christ, that many of us may see that in that it's not immediate. We like immediate, don't we? Like we pull up to a drive-thru because we want something immediate. We order something online because we want something immediate. We want things immediate. But what we see is when we are transformed or changed by God, it is a gradual process. And I don't know about you, but I can't stand gradual processes. Can you? I want it done. I want it then. I want it now. I want an answer. When I call, I want someone to answer. When I text, I want someone to answer. I want things in immediate responses. Do you? And yet God doesn't work that way. God doesn't just one day go, boom, Jack, you're here. I think a lot of us even think the Apostle Paul. He's on the road to Damascus. He's killing Christians. He's blinded. Whoop, and then he turns around and he's like, yay, everything's wonderful. You know, he went through a process of like 3 years getting prepared before he ever could go out and preach. Elisha, we talked about him a couple weeks ago. Elisha spent 18 years, remember? Washing hands. Remember that story? And so I don't think he, I think we see it in print and we think, man, it happens right away, but it doesn't work that way. So today, what I want to talk about is God working in our lives and working on your belief about yourself. And I'm going to tell you why I'm talking about our belief in ourselves. Number one, because I struggle with it a lot, and I really have been. And number two, the thing is, many of us have an incorrect view of ourselves. And so here's what I'm going to talk about. Every day we wake up and we spend our time and our lives looking at something. Anybody know what it is? A mirror, exactly. How many of you looked in the mirror today? Did you like what you saw? Okay, probably not when you first woke up and like, oh, I got to fix this. But we spend so much of our lives looking in mirrors. It's one of the first things that we do. And often when we're not physically looking in front of a mirror, many of us are spending time looking into a mirror or several different mirrors and to believe things about ourselves. They're mirrors about our lives. And so the question I want to ask you today is, have you defined yourself the way God sees you? Have you defined yourself the way God sees you? You see, we have mirrors that have shaped us. We have relationships. We have issues. We have parents. And we're listening to things that have constantly defined us year after year. But are we defining ourselves the way God sees us? As I said, chances are we aren't. And to some degree, we have all these areas and God is saying, hey, that's not who you are. That's not who I say you are. And every encounter, what I see is every encounter we read in Scripture, we see that God works on our belief about ourselves. In every single situation where God calls somebody, God has to work on what we believe about ourselves and every person in there. Remember, the first animated, I'm going to ask you a trivia. Anybody know the first animated motion picture from Disney? What was it? I heard it. Snow White. Anybody seen Snow White? Snow White. And remember, there's the queen, and she every day gets up and says what? Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest one of all? And what set her absolutely ballistic is when the mirror said, not you anymore, Snow White. Didn't it? It just messed with her so much that she lost who she was. She thought she was the fairest. But then when they mentioned Snow White, it changed everything for her. And what was she looking for? The same thing we do, validation in our lives. Validation in many, many areas of our lives. And we're all looking for that mirror, mirror validation that exists. So we're going to look at three different mirrors, and then I'm going to talk a little bit more about some other things. Okay? Here we go. The first mirror that we look at is the mirror of failure or rejection. The mirror of failure or rejection. And this one is simply the mirror of I am what I did. I am what I did. I am this. I did this, so I am that. This is a big one with people. Somebody may, and it's actually a lie. You are not what you do. You're not what you do. Look at the person next to you and say, you are not what you do. You're not what you do. Although we believe that, don't we? If we think something or we do something, we think, wow, that's who I am. You may say, I've been married 5 different times. And I am unlucky in love and I'm just a horrible spouse. Or I'm not good with money and I've been bankrupt before, so I am just a bad financial person. I'm just a horrible person. This could go on. I break friendships easily, so I'm just not a lovable person. Or we can go back to our series with mental health, and I've been diagnosed with a mental disorder or a mental health situation, so I am that. Okay. Time and time again, these labels. If we grab hold of what we've done, if we grab hold of that, it will define us the wrong ways. And God never sees us for what we did, but who we can become. It may be what you did. You may have done something horrific, but it's not who you are. And God can do a great work if we will let him. So that's the first mirror. The second mirror is this one. And this is a major one. This is more major than it's ever been. The mirror of social pressure. The mirror of social pressure. I am who they say I am. And we let others define who we are. Maybe your parents told you something when you were really young. And you have been fighting your entire life because of that label. Okay? You'll never amount to anything. Maybe a teacher told you that. I've heard stories of teachers saying, you know what, you're never going to amount to anything. And they spend their whole life with that insecurity and that feeling down. And we have a poor view of ourselves and who we're going to become. And then sometimes all it takes is for someone to rephrase that and say, you know, if you really put your mind to it, you can do something. But many of us just have been paralyzed by the fact that somebody said, you're never going to amount to everything. And we spend our entire lives trying to prove that wrong, only to feel after every top level, every level, everything that we achieve, that we still are never going to amount to anything. You know, so many of us compare our miserable lives to the highlight reel of everybody on social media. You realize that's a highlight reel? They don't ever put the bad stuff on there. Nobody, you know, well, some people like to regurgitate the bad stuff at times. But most of the time we see the pictures and everything. We're like, wow, their life is so good. I wish my life was like that. You know, many of us, many people are looking at magazine covers and saying, wow, I wish I looked like that. Just to let you know, they don't either. Everything's airbrushed and pulled up and pushed out and everything else. That's not who they are. And we see that time and time again. It doesn't happen. Anybody ever seen those pictures where they took somebody and they showed them and they stretched them and somebody with good with Photoshop and they make them look absolutely like, like they were made in a factory? And many of us want to be like that. There are story after story of females who are trying to be some kind of image that they never can be because it's not natural. And yet they end up with all kinds of eating disorders and all kinds of things only because they can't be what the magazine says they are, when that's a lie in the first place. So the mirror of social pressure is one that just hammers on us all the time. And then there's this mirror, the third one, of inferiority. Have you ever felt like this? I am not enough. Anybody ever felt that way? That you're just not enough in something. You may not be enough. This is a bad one for me. You may not, maybe not enough. You may be not a good enough friend. You may be not enough to be a good father. You may not be a good enough husband. You may not be a good enough son. You may not be a good enough professor. You may not be a good enough pastor. You may not be a good enough person. Anybody there? You ever been there? And that mirror of inferiority grabs you in life and takes you to a place where you live constantly saying, I'm just not good enough. And it breaks your heart. And you're stuck in that mirror. And every day you get up and you say, mirror, mirror on the wall. And it says, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. Or, remember what you did? That's who you are. Or, you remember what they said about you? That's who you are. And we define ourselves constantly, constantly, constantly. So how in the world do we find out who we really are? Well, in order to find out who we really are, we have to ask. You know, in order to find out something, what something is, we need to ask the Creator. If you want to find out about something, ask the Creator. Has anybody ever gone to a museum with paintings, like those abstract, like really kind of weird kind of things? You know what I mean? Anybody? And you look at them and you go there. Some people are like, wow, I can see the color. Me, I go look at them and I go, what? Anybody else with me? You look at it and you're like, what the? And somebody's like, that is a great work. Oh, I said, that looks like something my dog threw up. You know, I don't know. I put it on a painting. I don't get it. And so I'm sitting there. But then occasionally they'll have this little plaque or something that the art, or even now some of the places have a video, or if you might even have the artist right there, and they say, here's what I saw in this. And then you start to go, okay, and you start to understand it a little bit. You have to go to the one who created it to understand what it means. And so that's the same thing we have to do. We cannot live our lives in our God-given potential if, without asking the one who created us, who are we? And that's where we got to start. You see, God has an accurate story on you. And he's put it in his word. And so we need to put the word into us. We sing a song called, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, God, You're So Good. God, You're So Good. And there's that section in there that goes, I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, exalted, healed by your power, for the glory of Jesus' name. We sing that, but do we believe it? I can tell you, each and every day, I struggle to believe it. I believe in God. I know who he is, but yet I struggle it for myself because of those mirrors that I look in every day. And so what do? When we look at this, that is the word of God, and we've got to keep getting it into us. I am not who I need to be, but I'm not what I once was. And in James chapter 1, he says this. He said, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says. And I want to stop there because a lot of times I'm thinking it's like, do this. You know, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. That's where I get caught up in. But maybe God wants me to take his word and see that I am blessed, that I am whole, that I am his child, that I am highly favored. You agree? And so it says this, it's like someone, and doesn't do what it says, it's like someone who, get this, looks at his face, where? In a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I mean, have you ever done that? Have you ever looked in the mirror and been like, what the heck do I look like? Right? Like, you may not like what it looks like, but you don't just go, okay. Wait. Now, sometimes you may forget something like did I get this shaving? Do I still have an eye booger up here? You know, that kind of stuff. Is my hair good? But you don't forget who you are. So often when we get into the Word of God, we go ahead and we'll read verses about, I am forgiven, not forsaken. I'm blessed, I am whole. And then we put the word of God down and we go out into the world, and then that mirror comes up. That mirror of, hey, there's Jack, remember what he did? Or then we go a little further and we say, let me tell you about Jack Cohen. And we go, and we forget what God's word says about us. Just like looking in a mirror. James continues and says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So we're going to talk about a guy named Moses today. Anybody heard of him? Good old Moses. And Moses is a guy who did great things, but every step along the way, he struggled with his identity for many, many years. Struggled with his identity for many, 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 many years. Think about it. He was a baby, and he was to be killed, but he was supposed to be thrown into the Nile, but his mom went ahead and took a basket and put pitch and tar in there and put him in it and let him down the Nile, near the Nile, and Pharaoh's sister finds him, and she raises him and treats him as his own, picks him up and takes him. He was a Hebrew born that should have been dead, but they go ahead and they put him in the Pharaoh's house, and he becomes a prince of Egypt. But he still wasn't who God called him to be, even though he had the best of the best of those worlds. He had everything he wanted. But then he finds out that his identity is Hebrew, not Egyptian. And that messed with him because he saw the plight of his people and recognized he should be dead or he should be a slave. But here he is as an Egyptian. And so what he does, he murders a guy who is hurting his people and buries him and then gets told about it. And he then goes ahead and he runs away. And we do the same thing when we get that label of what we've done. We do stuff and we run away and try to hide. And then after he's been hiding for some time, he's on the backside of a mountain and he sees a bush on fire, and he goes over and says, man, that bush ain't burning up. And then all of a sudden, that bush starts to talk to him, and he's like, oh, excuse me, I don't know what I ate for lunch or whatever, but hey, maybe I've been with his sheep a little bit too long, and it's too hot in the desert. But then he looks, and it's not burning up, and he says, hey, Yoo-hoo, I am God. And he says, I have a mission for you. But before I give you that mission, I got to work on you a little bit here on this mountain. And Moses responds with the same four things that we do all the time when we're looking in those three mirrors. He responds with four insecurities that he has, and I want to share these with you today. Okay? Number one, Moses first says, who am I? Who am I? That's the question right now. Anybody ask yourself that question, who am I? Anybody not really know who you are? You're struggling with your own identity of who you are. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, right here. And it says this. But Moses said to God, what did he say? Who am I? Isn't this interesting? Moses, the baby, Hebrew, put in a river, raised in Pharaoh's household, now in Midian, hanging out on a mountain, or near there, hanging on a mountain. He's a shepherd too now. And he asked the question, and he's not young by any standards. He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who has sent you. Continue on. Here we go. Next section. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses is asking a big question, and that's a big question for all of us. Who am I? And God says, don't worry about it. I will be with you. God wants to define you on him. Notice God says, it's not about who you are. It's not about those mirrors that's defined you. It's not about the mirror of being a Hebrew. It's not about the mirror of being an Egyptian prince. It's not about the mirror of being a shepherd. It's a mirror of who I am going to define you to be, is what God says. And so many of us spend so much time and energy in our lives with the question, who am I? Who am I? And I'll tell you, one of the things is God loves to pick people who are bad choices to be leaders. Last week we talked about Jacob. He was a mess. We talk about Moses. Moses said, I can't even speak. He stuttered. He went ahead and in the New Testament, the person who wrote most of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he picks him, and he was killing Christians at the time when God called him and changed him. He changed him in a process, as I shared with you earlier. And many said, like even the early disciples did not want to have Saul at the time, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, come to them because they had heard what others were saying about him. They had also heard what he did. He was collecting Christians. He was killing them. And I know what people are saying about Saul of Tarsus. And God said, this is who I've chosen. You see, God took a redefinition for everybody of Saul of Tarsus. Even the part where Ananias had to go lay hands on him. He said, I want you to go to him. He said, whoa, I've heard that social mirror, I've heard about this guy, and I know what he does. Two mirrors right there. And Paul dealt with those himself. And Paul said, he perfectly could ask who he was. But here's what he says. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I don't like that answer, do you? I don't like the Popeye answer. I am what I am. I don't like it because I like to know who I am and what I am. But I constantly ask myself the question, who am I? And ultimately, I have to come to the point of comfort that I am who I am by the grace of God. That everything by the grace, the undeserved favor of God, that regardless of what I've done, regardless of what others say about me, regardless if I feel or have been told I'm not enough, by the grace of God, I am enough. It doesn't matter what I've done, and it doesn't matter who has said anything about me. So the first thing that we have to deal with is I am. Deal with the situation. Who am I? I am who I am by the grace of God. Number two, the next question Moses asked is this. Well, who the heck are you? He wants to know who you are. He's talking to a bush and he says, well, who are you? And there are people who struggle not only with their own insecurities, but you will always struggle with your own insecurities if you're insecure about who God is. You will always do that in your life. We'll struggle. Look at what Moses said. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what's his name? What shall I say? And then what shall I tell them? And God says to Moses, Popeye God, I am what I am. I am what I am. And this is what you are to tell the Israelites, I am has sent you. Now that has years and years of theology behind it. That now we understand that it's kind of like I always was, I always will be, and I am right now. So I'm always. Now we understand that. But can you imagine going to a bunch of people and sharing something for God and say, they say, who sent you? I said, I am. You are what? No, I am sent me. It's almost like a who's on first kind of Abbott Costello kind of thing that he's there. Who sent you? I am. We know you are, but who sent you? I am what I am. Okay, that's great about you, Moses, but we're trying to figure out who sent you. I am sent me. Okay, who's on first? There we go. We're back to this whole kind of thing that exists here. And the one thing is that God is, it says, whatever the situation, I am. You can't put God in a box. We can't label God. And boy, have we tried to label God. I have been around church long enough to know that some of the most loving Christian people love to put God in a box when it comes to what version of the Bible God can use. Oh, it's this one. When it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, no, not God. When it comes to the type of music we have. Like many of us think that the Apostle Peter carried around a pipe organ. And Matthew passed out hymnals. That's what we think. It doesn't matter. Or we think now, let's say we've had 30 years of contemporary worship. Now we think we can't do anything without drums and guitars and without screens. That God can't move in the midst of that. And we give God the can't time and time again in our lives. And we settled for a less than God. Let me ask you, a pastor who's facing multiple years in prison in China, do you think he doesn't think God is who he is? Or do you think he's just a God that can just be here and, well, he can't work there? See, we settled for a less than God and need to go all in with God for our own confidence. We need to discover he's mighty and he's powerful. You know, I've been in conversations and I've heard people before say, you know, I just can't believe in God. I can't physically believe that there was a man living in the belly of a fish, whale, whatever, for 3 days. And, you know, I've kind of gotten to a point to say, you know what? I'm with you. I cannot physically believe that there was a man named Jonah in the belly of a fish. I can't physically believe that people were raised from the dead. I can't physically believe in a virgin birth. But here's the deal. I am not putting my faith in a physical God. I am putting my faith in the great I am. The one who can and will, the one who created us, the one who put me together, the one who wants to re-put me together in a powerful way. Because he is, then I can be something I don't believe that I am. It's like the girl who one time said, who was in class, and she wrote a paper on Jonah. And her teacher read it and marked it all up because she was an atheist. And she said to her, she goes, I just cannot believe at all that, just much like I said, cannot believe that a man, that Jonah lived in the belly of the fish. And the girl said, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask him. And she said, well, what if he doesn't go to heaven? She goes, well, then you ask him. All right. So she was saying she's going somewhere else. Right. That's how we are in many places. We get so caught up in the stuff of life that we forget who God is. And look at what Jeremiah 32 says. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth. And by your great power and by your outstretched arm, what does it say? Nothing is too difficult for you. So our first thing is, I am who I am by the grace of God. Our second thing is, there is nothing too difficult for my God. There is nothing too difficult for my God. Next thing, number three. Number three is, what if they? Moses said, what if they? We worry about others' opinions. I got to tell you, I spent most of my life worrying about others' opinions of me and things that I've done and all kinds of things. Exodus chapter 4, Moses answered, what if they? Everybody say, what if they? What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? What if they? Proverbs 29 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. In John chapter 12, in Jesus' day, they had problems with people who wanted to believe in Jesus. There were people who wanted to believe him, the Messiah. But what happened? It says, in the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith. For what? Fear. Fear is something that paralyzes us time and time again. For fear, they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise from men more than the praise from God. So what do? We have to embrace what it says in Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. This is Paul. This is Paul who had people talking about him. This is Paul who I just said who had that mirror of rejection or failure because of what he did. That had the social pressure. That had maybe at thought times he wasn't enough because of that thorn in his flesh. And what did he have to do? He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. Nothing is too difficult for my God. So many times many of us may even be in worship. Many times we may be in worship and we may just feel like the Holy Spirit just wants us to do something, wants us to clap or wants us to maybe lift a hand or whatever, and then we just kind of look over and we go, no, not today. Maybe we're so burdened during the week that we come in and we want to worship God, but we say, man, not today. I don't want people to think I'm needy. We come in, we see people, and our whole lives may be wrecked, and we say, oh, I'm okay. Good to see you. Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, it's good to be here. And we sit down, and rather than opening up our hearts and our minds and our tears, we keep it to ourselves. Because I don't want them to think that something's wrong in my life. And so we need to open up a little bit more, because many of us will worship more today at a football game than we did in church this morning, week in and week out. Last thing that Moses said is this. He says, I have never. This is like, if you've ever been around the church for a while, this is something that every church says at one point. Well, we've never done it that way. And I have never done that. We can't be the person that says we don't or we didn't or we haven't. The best moves of God and the best inventions in life were done by somebody who never had done something like that. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, Moses says to the Lord, oh Lord, I have what? Never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Many people believe that Moses may have had a speech issue or a stutter or something else. And this is the one that God is choosing. Moses was leaning on the mirror of who he was by what he does and what he did. Can you imagine what the Bible would be like without Moses? But Philippians 4:13 tells us this. I can. Everybody say, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why? Because I am who I am by the grace of God. Nothing is too difficult for my God. I am not ashamed of the gospel, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, at this point where we usually wind down, and I'm actually kind of winding down, but I just want to kind of take a couple minutes and just share some things here. These mirrors are really strong in my life right now. The mirror of failure and rejection has been on me for years. And I'm somebody that when I get to a point of some point of feeling like, wow, I keep going back. I can't take it long. I don't take the moment very well. Like, wow, isn't that great? Some of you have known me for a while, and you know that when there's something like you're like, yeah, isn't this really good? Isn't this great? I'm like, yeah, and I'm on to the next thing. Because if I stay on it, it defines me in a way I don't believe in who I am. And so I deal with the mirror of failure and rejection every day of life. And over the years, I have dealt with the mirror of social pressure. I've gotten a little bit better at that. But for years, when I was in a church and somebody had issues and problems and concerns, and I couldn't help with it, it went back to another area that took me, and after I got to a place, I would do something sometimes and somebody would say, oh, did you hear what he said? And just to let you know, being a pastor or being a professor or being any place public, which many of you know about, you can't please everybody. And there's times that you can't please anybody. And so what you begin to say is, man, maybe I am who they say I am. And what that begins to do is then, you know, when you look at the mirror of failure and rejection, you're looking at that one all the time. And then you're looking at the mirror of social pressure and you're taking that in all the time. And when you have people who say that they love you and then they turn on you in the next second or you feel that they've abandoned you, it puts you back to the point where you say, well, maybe I am who people say they are. And then the mirror of inferiority is right there in front of you. And then what you go and you live every day with, I am not enough. And when you struggle with I am not enough every day, and you believe it every day, it leaves you questioning who you are. So I'm being really real with you. This is not just a sermon that I put together. I'm just being real with you that over the last several months and years, well, long time, but really a lot lately, I've been struggling with who am I? Who am I? I'll tell you, some of that really kicked in after the death of my mom. Because like it or not, she was my North Star. When she told me to do something, I didn't want to do it. I wanted to do the opposite. But I also wanted to please her. Even though if it aggravated her, I wanted to please her and show her. And some of you may recognize that when you've lost a parent. And so in the process of that, I don't have my North Star to guide me. To guide me away from what she told me to do. Many times, just to prove. Anybody been there? And also to know that even in the midst of her annoying me, she loved me. So I'm struggling with who I am. People say, well, but you don't see others how others see you. But yeah, I do. I see how others see me who may have said that they cared about me and said that they were there. And then I focus on, wow, maybe I am who others say I am. Maybe I am unlovable. Maybe I am selfish. Maybe I am just a jerk, right? And so I struggle with that. And then what begins to happen is when you say, well, God, you called me. And when you're trying to figure out who you are and be something for everyone else, you start to wonder, God, who are you now in my life? Yeah, I know you saved me out of this, but God, I, right, what I need is I need that living personal God. I don't need the God in stained glass right now. Anybody relating? If not, this is just my therapy today. We'll just go with it, all right? And then, in the guise of those three mirrors, who am I? Who are you? And God, what if they, because I know who I think I am. I'm trying to figure out who you are for me now, 25 years after ministry, and dealing with this part of life, coming up to 50, and what does that mean for me? Who am I? What if they really find out who I am? Anybody ask that question? What if they really find out who I am? Because who I am is who I think I am because of those mirrors. Then God says, well, Jack, how about this? And you say, I've never done that. Don't just look at Moses as this nice guy who just always had it together and just, here we go. Moses had no clue who he was very late in life. And God is working on me to find out at this point in my life who I am. And I'm struggling to find out who Jack is. I mean, there's a lot of labels that are there. Like if you ask people to define who I am, you would come up with some interesting things. You would come up with that I'm goofy, right? Right, Jake? I'm pretty goofy. You would come up with that I'm a pastor, that I'm a professor, that I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a friend. You might come up with that I'm humorous, I can get cantankerous and grumpy, that I have a quick temper, that I'm frustrated a lot. You get through that I have this ADHD thing that makes my mind go kind of wander all over the place, that it's kind of hard to follow me because I'm like a cat with a laser pointer at times. You'd be like, where is he going with this? But what I've learned in my life, those are all good, how people define you. But I got to find out and believe what God says about me is who I am. And I'm in a place where I'm struggling with that now for a lot of different things. And I just believe I'm sharing this part because it ain't, look, it's not on here. I closed out with the other stuff. Is that God's telling somebody the same thing today. That some of you are just keep going on, 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 and you don't know who you are. And you're wondering who God is. And you're wondering about what people think. And you have a fear of rejection and inferiority and all kinds of things. And you're trying to believe what the scripture says. And we just need to get to the point. Welcome to the boat with me. That you are who you are, defined by the grace of God. That nothing is too difficult for your God. That God can do anything. And the mess that you're in, God can do that. That you won't be ashamed of the gospel. And that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. I need an encounter with the mirror of Jesus Christ. A new encounter with the mirror of Jesus Christ in my life. I think many of us do. And we need to say, God, I need something real. I need to know that you're not just in a book. That you're not just in stained glass. But that you are living and hopeful. So I'm going to ask you to pray for me. And I know many of you do. Kick that sucker up a notch. Because in this quandary, it's a bad place. And I don't like it. I'm not somebody who likes to be down. I'm not somebody who likes to struggle. But I will tell you one thing that you can all say about Jack Cohen is I'm going to be real and I'm going to throw it out here. I'm not going to put on a face and be like everything's hunky-dory in my life because the God of the mountain is still God of the valley. And I'm in that valley and I'm going to trust that he's going to raise me up. Amen? Let's stand and worship. Jesus. Here we are. Here I am. Whoever that is. I'm looking again at this, at the words of the songs that we sang today. I'm seeing words like buried beneath my shame, and breathing but not alive was my tomb until I found you. And just like we said, your grace is what makes it happen. Your grace, your undeserved favor, is what makes life worth living, which makes us whole. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. So God, right now I need a good dose of your grace. And I believe other people in the sound of my voice need your grace. We need you to be our vision. That your vision will be, your vision of us will be the vision that we embrace and have. Be our vision, God. God, I just call for a resurrection in my spirit. A resurrection in my life that I just see as it was told, the valley of dry bones. And that valley is there, and it just looks like death and destruction and waste, and then your spirit comes in and the bones start rattling. They start connecting to each other, and tendons and flesh and muscle begin to get onto those. And as the prophet Saul, he said, can these dry bones live again? So God, here's this dry bone of a servant for you. I need this dry bone to be alive again. In the sound of my voice, I pray for everybody who has dealt with just a dryness in their spirit, that you start rattling some bones today and putting them back together in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christ our King.
your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ the King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ the King.
By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
Soldiers washed in pain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave.
Our God has robbed the grave.
Amen, everyone. Have a great week in the Lord, and be safe out there, depending on where you go. I know coming from Pennsylvania area and coming from Rising Sun area, it's a little bit hairy there. It's the snows are a little bit icy, a little bit snowy and stuff like there. But have a great week in Jesus, and may the resurrected King resurrect you. In your name, Jesus, amen.
All right, I'll double check and let you know. That should be good.